Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. 2023 was a strange year indeed. Today, I'd like to focus on the chaos in and pertaining to the United States. The New York Post wrote on December 30, "The best thing about 2023 is that it is ending, meaning we can finally say good riddance to one of the strangest years in American politics. Both parties contributed, but Democrats were extra strange. Many of them say they hate Donald Trump, but have a weird way of showing it. Often it seems like they're doing everything under the sun to elect him. After the 2020 election and the overheated aftermath, Dems let the far left set the domestic agenda, ruined the economy, threw open the border, pursued a history-shattering prosecution of the former president. The result may be that Trump gets his party's nomination and wins the White House largely because his opponents tried to put him in jail. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi did her part with the dupey idea that two Trump-hating Republicans, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, would give a bipartisan sheen to her January 6 inquisition. President Biden fell sway to the same delusion, publicly spitting out mega, mega, mega as a curse, and privately pushing his bitter Attorney General Merrick Garland to charge the former president with crimes. Garland did as he was told, even as he dutifully tried to kill the strong case against the president's son, Hunter Biden. Prosecutors inside and outside of Washington accepted the invitation and hit Trump with four separate indictments, a total of 91 criminal counts, most of them silly or suspect. The overreach also features a New York civil case where authorities aim to take away Trump's businesses and bankrupt him. It's a financial case without a victim, but has an overly partisan state attorney general who, along with the judge, concocted a show trial that would gladden the hearts of authoritarians everywhere. The Dems' latest efforts to block Trump from appearing on state ballots smacks of desperation as they suddenly realize their prosecutions backfired. In addition to Biden's rampant failures, his age, and in-your-face family corruption, many Republican and independent voters view the prosecutions as persecutions and are raising their hands for Trump in response. Those converted voters are why Trump has risen like Lazarus and racked up such large leads for the GOP nomination. The fact that Biden is even running adds another twist to 2024, with a majority of Democrats saying they want someone else. But then, when they are being asked who that should be, the majority says Kamala Harris. Now that's something for the storybooks. We also can add to this the Republican infighting regarding the Speaker of the House. And we see the absolute chaos in American politics, and it hasn't ended in 2023. Let's talk about the unconstitutional efforts against Trump. Was already alluded to in the previous article, but Breitbart wrote on December 29 that Maine's Secretary of State, Shanna Bellows, a Democrat whose social media is littered with photos of President Joe Biden, justified her ruling based on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment's Insurrection Clause. The statute has never been used to disqualify a president from the ballot, has generally been understood not to apply to the office of the president. In addition, Trump was never charged with, let alone convicted, of insurrection. This is not an attack on Trump. This is an attack on our democracy. It is an attack on the American Constitution. Bellows rendered a quote-unquote judgment, she's not an attorney by the way, based on YouTube videos, on newspaper articles, on other dubious sources, and apparently on the opinion of one professor Well, you have a myriad of professors obviously having different views when it comes to the Constitution. Fox News added on December 30 that former top Obama advisor David Axelrod warned that a court decision removing former President Donald Trump from the primary ballot would rip the country apart. Another way of saying it would invite civil war. That's the chaos within the United States. But let's look at one other aspect. What's happening in the Middle East? What is happening when it comes to the attack of Houthi terrorists and pirates on ships in the Red Sea and the idle attempt of the United States and others to prevent those attacks? Daily Mail wrote on January 1. If the Americans think they can smash the Houthis easily, they are deluded. The truth is that this conflict has a sinister resonance to the humiliating 1956 Suez Crisis. The U.S. is now fighting proxy wars on two fronts, the Gaza Strip and Ukraine. Even the Pentagon's vast budget of some $824 billion cannot arm Kyiv and Israel, let alone fight a new Middle Eastern war and keep an eye on China too, etc., etc., etc. It's unlikely that a fleet of 19 ships can achieve much success in the region. The Allied Red Sea fleet and threats of airstrikes are not a quick fix. The need to use them is a graphic illustration of the West's overall weakness. The U.S., with all its power and might, is seen as unable to overwhelm a feeble militia like the Houthis. Britain's role in international affairs has slipped away. In other words, gone. As the new year dawns, my fear is we may be witnessing in real time the collapse of American power, which has sheltered us for all our lives. And this assessment regarding the demise of America and Britain is very aptly described. You see, we are going to see just that. And 2024 will continue to show us the absolute downfall of the United States of America, inside and outside. And we will keep you informed. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.